of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance, Lose, Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Duckett Fishing, Spro, AFCO, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you. Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, how you doing after the national championship game?
Yeah, I picked Clemson. I thought I'd go out on a little bit of a limb, and LSU obviously kicked their ass.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining, though. Pretty entertaining football game. Wow, you talk about a physical football game.
Yeah, a bunch of anglers, Cliff Crochet, you had Gerald Spohr, you have Caleb Sumrall, number of other of the Louisiana contingent, but they were all up and watching the game. I actually lost more, not money.
You're going in the hole, my friend.
A bottle of Maker's Mark to Gerald Spohr in the game, who I think had a higher stakes than a bottle of bourbon riding on it, but we'll leave it at that.
Wow. Hookie the bookie, maybe.
Let's just say he was able to pay for all of his 2020 BPT entry fees because of the game last night.
Wow. All right.
Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Don't go there. All right. Good show today. We're going to have John Cox on live via Skype. And I believe when I checked in with him this morning, Matthew, he was on the way to the Harris Chain.
Yeah. He fishes in between fishing.
Yeah.
So he fishes. And that's pretty much all he does.
Then he fishes some more.
Both the only angler this year who is fishing the FLW Pro Circuit and the Bassmaster Elite Series. Actually qualified for the Elite Series through both divisions of the Opens, I believe.
Yeah.
Won an Open on Chickamauga. This drives me nuts, Mark.
What's that?
Tons of professional anglers call it Chickamauga.
I just call it the Chick.
You call it the Chick. I call it Chickamauga.
Do we need to find
multiple
out what the
multiple people
proper
call it Chickamauga.
Yeah.
But some people call it Chickamauga still. It's very confusing to me. I believe it's Chickamauga.
Maybe we can get verification on that from somebody.
He's won there twice. Two Opens since 2017.
I don't think he really cares what it's called.
It's called the bankroll is what he calls it.
The 401k. That's his 401k plan right there.
Yeah. But anyway, qualified both. So he decided to fish both of them. So he's got the 9-10 tournament schedule. He's got the classic mixed in there. And he's got the seven tournaments on the MLFLW, which actually will be kind of his first tournament. I don't believe he's fishing the Open this week.
Obviously.
If he was at the... Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him just to go out and fish it without practicing. Yeah, I know he's been getting his stuff ready. So...
Well, we will see. We're going to have him on live via Skype here in about 10, 15 minutes. All right, Matthew, I want to pick your brain. I was, and dang it, I forgot to bring, where'd I put that buzzbait? We'll get into that after we have John on. I'll grab it during the break because I want to run my idea. I ran it by you and you were just kind of like,
sold on it.
Not really. I want to see what some of the
hookup ratio.
Do what?
I think it hinders hookup ratio.
We'll talk about that. All right. We'll get into that if we have time once we have John on there. All right. The other thing I want to pick your brain about is I was looking at the roster, and I greatly appreciate Bass putting their roster out there for the Open for the Kissimmee Chain. And I was looking at the number of anglers by state, which is cool that they do that and they provide that information. It shows everybody listed by state. 225 anglers.
Full field.
35 states and countries. I found several things interesting about this roster so far. One, five from Canada. Mm-hmm. All right. The expansion that's taking place from the guys in Canada coming down, I think, is a direct result of what?
The success that the Canadians have had on both the FLW Tour and the Elite Series, the Johnson brothers. I mean, also Mercer, he's from Canada there. You've got Gustafson. Let me see. Oh, you have Brian Gustafson.
Yeah.
In there. Other than that, and the name Cooper Gallant sounds very familiar too.
Yeah. So you have five anglers from Canada, one from Italy, mm-hmm. five from Japan.
Yeah, Kenai Obi, he's in there.
Okay, so keep that
Seiji
in mind.
Kato, now, Kenta Kimura.
Now, this is the Eastern Opens.
Kaoki, so familiar names from Japan. Yeah.
This is the Eastern Opens, and take into consideration that the guys that are fishing both the Centrals and the Easterns are having their own little competition, correct?
Correct. The guys who fish all
eight
get to take their top six scores, cull out their bottom two scores, and the top four in those standings move on to the 2021 Elite Series.
Okay, so you have five from Japan, five from Canada. Now, let me scroll up this list.
No way. I know where you're going with this. That's crazy.
Hey, hang on a minute.
That's crazy.
Let me get to it. Hang on, let me see.
You going up to the O's?
Yeah. Okay, hang on. I went past the O's. Hang on. Okay, guess how many anglers from Oklahoma?
I don't want to steal your thunder. Go ahead. Just tell
me. Four. Only four guys from the state of Oklahoma.
In the Eastern Opens.
I get it.
But listen, I considered fishing all eight of them, Mark.
I know.
And I ran the numbers as an open angler. Not an angler, and this makes sense, as an open angler. Without a lot of, funds laying around for travel. Yeah. That requires an upstate New York trip and back, a South Carolina trip and back, a Florida trip and back.
Dude, I get it.
You're talking 11,000 miles.
I get it. I get it. Okay. I totally understand. All right? But in this day and age of which... this is the track to get to where the upper tier is to go through the opens.
Right.
Now, what I'm gonna do, and folks, I'm just pointing out the obvious here.
And
that's
look
all
at
I'm
the
doing.
Four that are fishing it though. They're guys who are used to going to the ends of the earth to catch bass. Jason Christie. Interesting.
Correct.
Interesting.
Correct.
That's the first time I've heard Jason Christie's fishing the opens. Brad Hallman, obviously we know what he's doing. He's fishing all eight, and Andrew Upshaw. So I don't know what Caleb Gibson is doing, but I do believe those other three are fishing all eight.
You would assume that. Yeah. Now, when is the first Central Open? I don't have it.
April 8th through 11th.
So it's coming up.
In Texas.
What I want to do is I'm just pointing out the obvious, the numbers. What I want to do is I want to take a look when that Central roster comes out for the very first one. I want to see if there is a increase in the number of participants, number of anglers, from what I consider key states in making things happen from key states as far as trying to qualify for the Elite Series.
Alabama.
Missouri.
Yeah, there's not very many guys from
Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma. I mean, let's face it, Matthew, for years and years.
Two from Missouri that are fishing.
Well, no, there's more than that. There's five.
Or Mississippi, I mean.
Yeah, only two from Mississippi. Only five from Missouri. Or Missouri. I apologize to the fellow Missourians. Missourians. See, my wife tells me it's Missouri, not Missouri.
I mean, I grew up in Illinois. We always called it Missouri.
Yeah, she says it's Missouri. By the way, there was a whole lot of Tiger stuff going on last night in that game, too. Way too much Tiger stuff.
It was the Tigers versus the Tigers.
I know.
Death Valley versus Death Valley.
I know.
Anyway.
The real Death Valley. Anyway. So the point I'm trying to make is I find it very unique at this age of the opportunity to make it to the highest level that there are more people from Japan than there are from the state of Oklahoma, of which you have BFLs that over a period of time were jam-packed. You have team tournaments that are jam-packed. In other words, I'm trying to come to some type of conclusion whether or not that people are jumping on the opportunity that it exists, or is there a – let's just say, a defined number of people that are going to continue doing this game to try to get to the highest level.
You could take it even a step further and say there's more as many international anglers as there are anglers from Alabama.
How many from Alabama?
There's 15 from Alabama that are competing in this.
Think about how many.
That's the mecca of the Eastern Opens there, and you've got the 5 from Canada, the 5 from Japan, and the 1 from Italy, so actually 11. Yeah, we could tie it if you throw West Virginia in there. But I'm just saying, 11 international anglers and 15 anglers from Alabama. So I think that's good. I mean, that's
good. You think that's a good number?
No, I just meant, I mean, I like the international flair in there.
I'm not pointing that out. What I'm pointing out is it seems like that, I mean, let's face it, Matthew. I can reflect back to the good old days of which there were max numbers from Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and Missouri. I think 15 from Alabama for the Eastern Opens, I think that number is low. I'm just going to be honest.
100%. I was agreeing with that. You know, obviously Florida, 37.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Well, yeah, it starts out in Florida. But yeah. Alabama typically is, you know, it's where Bass headquarters is located. You have a lot of anglers that reside in Alabama. So I was surprised that only 15 were from Alabama. I need to go through, and I'll have this tomorrow, how many guys on other tours are fishing this open. I see like Bobby Lane's name in there. I see Justin Atkins. I see Matt Lee, a number of guys. So it'll be interesting to see if they fish the whole series out or if they're just getting their feet wet, getting things kicked off before they head to Eufaula in Alabama to start the BPT season.
Yeah. Now let me point out, Basszilla on the instant feedback points out a great point. Max Field. I guess that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And for them to put together a Max Field, I think and believe very, very, very cool. And maybe there were guys in Alabama that didn't get in.
Yeah.
Maybe they, you know, waited to the last minute or whatever reason that number is only 15. It really stuck out at me, the number of key states that have produced so many professional anglers over a period of time that to me those numbers seem very low.
They do. And I when I registered for the Central Opens, I just kind of inquired to the Chris Bowes there about the Eastern Opens, and he's like, yeah, you know, you're gonna be lucky if you want to get in the Eastern Opens. And this was the end of November, beginning of December already. Now obviously it started sooner, but those filled up, from what I've been able to gather my information, filled up a lot quicker than the Centrals. But I believe that the Centrals will be a full field too. I actually yesterday, Mark, I am in 100% confirmed in, linked all 4 Central Opens.
Nice.
So now I just have to give them $4,000 more and they'll let me fish in it.
Well, it is what it is, man. I know that's not going to be an issue because you have things in place to make sure that will occur.
Actually,
we'll
talk a little bit about entry fees. Last year, Vance McCullough, who writes for anglerschannel.com, did an article with John Cox, and some of the stuff he went through were the numbers as far as entry fees and what his total expenses are going to be this year fishing both tours. So,
what was it off the top of your head? Do you remember?
Yeah, I got it. He's paying $82,000 in entry fees and estimates his expenses are going to be $136,000 this year just to fish the two trails.
Wow. That is a lot of money, dude.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can make a big chunk of that back with the No Entry Fee Classic coming up. And I mean, you look at where he finishes and some of the fisheries that are coming up on the schedule, I have no doubt that he'll break even and be in the black. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You want to be in the black, not in the red.
Correct.
Right. I have a feeling he'll be in the black by the end of the year.
$130,000.
He estimated. Let me see if in Vance's article here what he said.
Wow. All right. Hang on 1 second. I just received notification. We're going to wait till 9 o'clock, right around 9 o'clock with John Cox. He's actually going to be in his boat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Both boats?
I don't know which one.
It says even if he cuts a bunch of checks, Cox might still barely break even. He laughs at the thought. Quote, like I said, this is from the Angler Channel. It's like October 30th. I figure I'm going to have invested staying in crappy hotels and eating Taco Bell. I'm going to have something like $136,000 invested in the season next year. As long as I come out winning $225,000, that $250,000, I'll feel good.
Wow. Wow, think about that. Think about the year that if he did in total earnings $250,000, that means, I mean, gross-wise, he's only going to clear $120,000, dude. Mm-hmm.
So let's say...
And then he's got to pay taxes on
that. Let's say he's got 10 Elite Series, including the Classic.
Yeah.
And I think there's one overlapper, so let's say 6. So let's say 16 tournaments this year, right?
Yeah.
Let's say 17. Let's say 16. 250 divided by 17. So in order to hit that, he'll have to hit $14,705 a derby, which is a, if you don't win,
yeah,
and get the $100,000 that then supplements, you know, the $10,000 checks or the $8,000 checks, is a top 10 in every single FLW pro circuit and Elite Series.
But don't you think that he is very, very, very marketable because of what he's doing to the companies? And he probably has.
His exposure is going to be through the roof.
Yeah.
And you look at the fisheries he's had it audited, his resume on it. Now, the thing you forget about John Cox is, now he's been tournament fishing since, you know, 04, 05, 06.
Yeah.
But really came onto the scene in like 2011. And it's 2020 now, too. So he's just 10 years into this thing. And look at how solid he is and the name that he's carved out for himself in that 10-year span. Yeah. It seems like he's been around a lot longer than that.
All right. One of the things that I'm going to ask him is pressure. And I want to know if he's feeling more pressure. Think about the pressure from a financial perspective. And obviously we have no idea what his endorsement deals are, how much money that he's gaining because of what he's doing from a sponsorship revenue standpoint. But let's just say it's on average. Now, I tend to believe that it's a little bit above average because of the exposure that he's getting because he's fishing boat tours and all that and everything. But think about the amount of pressure from a financial standpoint that you're already out, and I'm just going to call it $140,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, bottom line. All right? I know about his performance. I know what the historical data says about the finishes that John Cox has had. He's a freaking stud. All right? He can catch him. There is no arguing there. But is the collar going to get a little tighter because you got at least $140,000 on the line, and he has, what, expectations of making $250,000 this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I at the end, you know, the end of last, or the Eastern Open, he won 45 at the end. Then you look at what he did at FLW, and I mean, he's going to have 10,000 in the Classic there. So, I mean, he's depending on, I mean, unless he just like went and put it on red in Vegas, he's going to have a little nest egg squirreled up there from just his winnings at the end in the second half of last year.
I think everybody is intrigued with what he is trying to accomplish. Both media, fans, I think everybody wants to see how this thing's going to play out. I'm super interested just from a performance perspective and from a revenue perspective, because you got to have a set of balls to be able to do this, dude.
There are, but, I mean, are we making too much of this as the media of, holy cow, a guy's fishing 16 weeks? You look at, like, a NASCAR season, you're talking 38 races in a year, week after week.
Totally different,
you talk about the golf, you're talking 42 tournaments or
all
whatever it is.
All those guys are living in a life of luxury, dude. It's not like what John's trying to accomplish.
Well, I'm not talking...
They're flying in on the helicopter on race day.
I'm just talking about the back-to-backs. I mean, you're talking about half of what the NASCAR...
Not even close.
But there's a lot less...
Not even close. Not even close, dude. Those guys live in a totally different
world.
Well,
I'm just talking about the guys who are like, how are you going to do it? You have back to back to back. You're fishing 4 or 5 tournaments.
No, forget about
the
that. That's not an idea. That's what the guy does.
Right.
That's his occupation. It's not like, you know, a small portion of the guys out there that are trying to fish. Either the tours and they have full-time
jobs.
You're
talking just strictly financial burden.
That's what he does. That is his job, dude. He is fully vested in this game.
Mm-hmm. As you should be as a top-tier professional angler.
You and I both know there's a lot of guys that are top-tier guys out there that fishing is not their only game. They are relying on other things from an occupational standpoint. So I give it up to the guy. I am absolutely intrigued with what he's trying to do, as I was when Ish tried to do it.
Mm-hmm. Or did Casey Ashley did it.
Yeah.
Number of different guys have done it.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be cool to see how it plays out. And some of the logistical challenges, maybe. Maybe not. I mean, maybe he's got this thing. Obviously, he's got to have this thing totally dialed in from an equipment standpoint.
Yeah, I believe
to be able
he's actually running 2 different models of boats. Depending on which tour he is, and he's going with like a bigger, deeper aluminum for the Elite Series.
Yeah.
Because remember, in the Elite Series, you got to fish the same boat all the way through. And they go to some big lakes this year, you know, up north, the St. Lawrence, Champlain. There's some big waters on that. So I think he's going to have 2 different models running on that. So it'll be interesting to see. But I mean, the dude's like on the water. I don't know when he gets his crap ready.
I'm sure he's ready right now. I mean, we're asking ourselves these questions that we're going to ask John, obviously, when we have him on. Let's see here. What time is it? All right, we got about 7 minutes until then. Anything else, Matthew? I do want to mention this, and we are really, really good about you know, keeping it about the game, and we try to bring in other topics that relate back to bass fishing and stuff that's going on in the industry. But I had a flashback, right? And I think, and you might be able to help me out here, this was maybe 8 years ago. And I started thinking, you know who the original YouTube star is? The original.
For bass fishing?
Just fishing in general. We actually
Phil Vance?
No. Heavens, no. We debuted him on the show. It was when Drew was still on the show, and we did it in the smaller studio.
The original?
He was, and I don't even know. I didn't even check because it hit me as I was driving back from a game one night last week. I don't even know if he still has videos out there, man.
The original?
Yeah.
Tournament-wise?
Just fishing, man.
Oh, Uncle Steve.
What was it? Uncle Steve. So I'm going to do a little research and see if Uncle Steve's still around, unless you can pull it up right there. Is he still pouring out videos, man?
No.
No? This guy, he had like one rotted reel. He had a little pocket full of lures.
His last upload was 3 years ago.
Really?
Hello, boys and girls of all ages.
Uncle Steve,
welcome
folks.
To fishing with Uncle Steve.
If you have some time, check it out on YouTube.
No, I'm not saying he was the first one.
No, but I believe that he was right there on the cutting edge.
Yeah, he posted a bunch of stuff 3 years ago, and
that's
not
been
heard
it.
From him since.
Yeah, I wonder if Uncle Steve's still around. It was really
I
entertaining.
I do remember that. You'd say, now it's time for Uncle Steve. Fishing with Uncle Steve.
Yeah, that was like 8, 9 years ago. So I had a flashback. All right, can you clear up something for the fans on the instant feedback, please, Matthew?
Yes.
There is some interest in wondering why Jason Christie is fishing the Opens.
Because he can? Which Jason Christie?
That's what you need to clear up. Which one is fishing the Open?
There's one with a Y and one with an IE. IE from Oklahoma, Y, Arizona transplanted to Alabama.
Yes.
Y fished the first 3 quarters of the pro circuit season last year.
Yes.
And is back for another round this year. IE fished the BPT last year and is fishing at least the first open and the BPT this year.
Now, I don't know. Do you know, Matthew, is he fishing all eight? Is it possible that he's fishing all eight?
I have, you know, you hear stuff and then you know stuff. I've heard he's fishing all eight. I haven't. Right. Jason is not like a guy you just like call up and chat with.
Yeah.
Jason Christie.
He's all business, man.
Like, he's kind of intimidating. To like, are you just intimidated? Call up. No, but like when I like I have gone and shot stuff with him, you know, like for sponsor stuff and, oh, we need this and that. And he's just like, meet me here at this time. And then he shows up. He like does it. He's like, all right, we good? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right, see ya. And, you know, like, it's just, he's just all about getting his stuff done.
Yeah. I'm gonna try and find out. Maybe he will respond from a text or to a text that I send him. But I'm really curious whether or not he is competing in all eight opens.
You can call him.
I'm not going to call him. I'll just
why
he's fishing. I mean, I'm not intimidated.
He's been super nice. I got no reason to not call him.
I'm just not going to bother him. I mean, it's not bothersome if you look at your phone when you're taking a break or making a, before you make a run or
whatever.
Who's
your most intimidating call in bass fishing, Mark?
Skeet Reese.
Really?
Not anymore, but at one time, Skeet Reese.
Why?
Just was, man. He was one of the dudes that early in my career, I was extremely intimidated. And you know what made it worse? Is he knew it. He knew that I was afraid of him. Now, since that early beginning, Matthew, have Skeet and I become friends? Yes, we actually fished fish and chips together for a couple of years, and I am no longer intimidated at all.
Didn't you get him to throw a Carolina rig
I did.
On Arbuckle?
I did.
With the French fry on it?
That was the only way we could catch fish.
Skeet, I mean, listening to you.
Something wrong with that. Something very, very, very wrong with that. But no, Skeet and the I remember at the, what was it, 2000, where the Classic was at Chicago?
Mm-hmm. The one that we...
Dude, I was a dumbass, all right? I was just...
It was in Soldier Field.
Yeah, and I've told many stories of that.
About how there were seven people there?
It's my second class... Let's see, I went to...
You went to 98.
99, where Davey Hyatt won. And then 2000 was in Chicago, Woo Dave's won. In the hotel... While Skeet was waiting on his family, I walked up to him and I go, hey, Skeet, do you have a couple of minutes? What do you need? I want to ask you a couple of questions. I'm trying to get a story done. He goes, are you serious? You want to talk to me now? You're going to have plenty of time to talk to me. No. Now, he might have been a little nicer about it.
He said no?
Yeah. He's like, dude, seriously?
Yeah,
seriously,
that makes sense.
But that's my bad. That's an idiot move. That was just a moron move on my part. But once again, that was only the third year, really and truly the first year that I was truly engaged doing what I was doing. I mean, the first two were just kind of like I was in awe. Do you remember the first time? And I'm not talking about your casting kids success that you had in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about, do you remember the first Classic that you covered as a media person representing what we do here?
2009.
What was that like? 2009. What was that like?
2009. Was that Kevin's year? Did he win in 2009?
Yeah. I think so.
Man, I don't remember much about it.
Just a fog, huh?
I would like to say that it was like super impressive and stuff, but I don't remember much about it. What I remember is the first one I covered with you when you took me to Smith Mountain.
And we stayed in the high-rise condo.
Yeah, but remember you come over the... You kind of come... When you're driving into it, like the parking lot's kind of below you, and you come around this corner, and I remember, you know, you had the rental car, and we came up over the top, and you look down, and you see all the trucks and all the wrap trucks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that was when I geeked out. Because I was like, oh, there's those guys, you know, because that was the first time that I'd seen all those trucks together at once.
Yeah. Huh.
I still hate figuring out where to park.
I remember when you jumped on that plane and went to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Your first tournament. and I send you to Detroit.
Without a hotel room.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was good times. That was a, you know who took care of me that whole season was Chad Morgan Thaler and Glenn Brown, the Florida angler recently passed away.
Yeah.
Super nice to me that whole year, like kind of took me under their wing. We were sponsored by Jasper Engines and Transmissions, and we did the pre and post game and post day show with Chad. We go to his campground, you camp next to Glenn there. So, did John get his boat in the water, Mark?
Hopefully. So what we need to do is, I have not received word from him yet. Yeah, he is ready. Just got it. So let's do this. Let's take a commercial break, and we will come back with John Cox on the water. Kind of unexpected. So everybody stay tuned right here on a Tuesday.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. Upgrade to HDS Live with a Ghost Trolling Motor, LiveSight Transducer, or Structure Scan 3D and get up to $500 cash back.
Yeah, you care about gear ratios, inches per turn, and ball bearings, but most importantly, you want reliability and dependability in the equipment you use. Luz doesn't cut corners when it comes to the gear they build. The new Speed Spool LFS is the best $99 reel in the market. Go see for yourself.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need six.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I want to share to you a new product we got coming out from Sunline. This is the FC leader size spools that we have now. We've gotten a lot of requests for this. A lot of you guys use fluorocarbon for leaders only, myself included. And one of the problems you have is when you have a 200-yard spool, that might last you 2, 3, 4 years. You might even lose it before you even get done with the spool. So we've gone to a little smaller spool. These are 50-yard spool sizes. You know, that way you're not holding your line on forever. You can keep your line fresh, use it when you can, stores real easily in the boat. We got all of our popular line sizes that you're used to with our Sniper from 5 to 14 pound. If you guys are looking for a line that you're only tying for a leader, go check out Sunline FC Leader 100% fluorocarbon and give it a try.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Pop to the Little John series, When you tie a Spro bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
Meet AFCO's iCast award-winning Hydronaut waterproof system. Hydronaut features a 20K 100% waterproof shell, double dry cuffs to keep water out, speed vent hood engineered to prevent neck strain at high rates of speed. AFCO exclusive Cyclops tactical camera mount. Comfort Flex shoulder straps for all-day comfort. Outerwear that you can count on. The Hydronaut waterproof system by AFCO. Any fish, any water.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit Gamigatsu.com.
You are serious about catching fish. That HDS is a dead giveaway. You've got the best fish-finding sonar money can buy. Time to build the ultimate fish-finding system with LiveSight Sonar. See what your lure is doing in real time. Watch fish strike as it happens. See for yourself. Take the LiveSight Sonar 30-day challenge. If LiveSight Sonar doesn't help you find and catch more fish, send it back, no questions asked.
All right, we are back on a Tuesday. We are ready for our special guest as we're a little delayed because we're actually going to have John Cox on the water. And, he was graciously available while he was practicing or fishing. Mm-hmm. Or
let's hope we get a better camera angle than we had Brad on the water last.
Well, yeah, we got to work with Bradley on that. All right, so let's not waste any time and bring him in.
Oh, look, it's a fake. Yeah, we had the last one we had on the water was Mr. Holman, who's on the show a lot, John. But he put the phone in his cup holder, and it just shot straight up his shorts for half an hour.
It was like a crotch shot the entire show.
Oh man, I promise I won't do that to you guys. Yeah. Promise.
Yeah. All right, John. Man, thank you so much. We know you've been on numerous other media outlets. You've done a ton of interviews, so we appreciate you taking time out, especially when you're on the water. Let's jump right in, dude. I want to know right off the top, logistically, how are you going to get this done, man?
Surprisingly, a lot of them line up to where, it's only a 3 to 4 hour max drive in between a lot of the lakes this year. So it's actually going to be a lot easier than last year. Last year having I'd had like 3 boats and 2 trucks out at one time. I was flying back and forth, and I was having to make a lot of trips. I was in Wisconsin one day, and next day I'd have to fly to Arkansas and jump in the other boat to practice. So there won't be any of that. So I think it's going to work out pretty good.
All right, boat-wise, how is that going to work?
So what I'm thinking, so the Bassmaster Elites, you're not allowed to change your rigs at all. So, like an FLW, I would normally run my PT-20 the whole beginning half of the season. And then when we'd go up north on some of the bigger lakes, I'd run the Basshawk. So I'm going to, this year, I'm just going to run the Basshawk and all the Bassmaster Elites, because the last three, the northern swing, it's all like Champlain, St. Lawrence River, St. Clair. So I want to finish strong, at the end of the season. So I figure it's my best bet is to just stay in that boat. And then I'm going to fish the FLWs out of the PT-20.
Was there any question? I mean, you look at where you finished in the opens and all the opens you fished last year. I mean, was there any doubt that you were going to fish the Elite Series this year, or was that the plan last year and fishing the opens to make the Elite Series this year, and then the FLW just kind of worked in with that system?
I've supported my family and FLW is just like, I mean, they've carried me a lot. I mean, I remember one time I was out of the tour. I didn't have any money. And then they were like last minute, they're like, hey man, we got a spot, you can get in. And so I didn't want to leave FLW, and I felt like everything was going good at FLW. And, uh, So just being able to do both is just really great to be able to go over and you know, do the elites too.
What year would that have been? I mean, because you look at the career that you've had over the past 10 years and you were like one call away from not even being on the tour one year. I mean, you kind of breeze over that, but you look at $1.3 million in earnings at the two opens, and that's like a Bill Taylor call away from, remember that guy from Florida who used to bass fish out of an aluminum boat?
Now, it was. I had a lot of rough stuff going on. I think it was like 2012 or so, or you know, I had to actually miss a couple tournaments at the end of the season. But you know, everything got everything came around, and we started rolling again.
that's a crazy story. You just got married too, right?
Yeah.
So man, you've been through a lot in the decade. Like, I always like to ask this question though. Like, how much do you think like calmness and happiness in your personal life translates to the water?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's everything. I mean, if you're out there and you have to think about other stuff, there's no way to compete with those guys. You know, so many of these guys are so good, and you know, and I mean, even you know, I don't know. I'm amazed that I'm able to stay in it and keep going and doing okay and stuff. And man, I'm just telling you, it's all about having that stable home life for sure.
All right, John. I, on this show, I'm about the business, and I'm very curious because of what you're doing and the uniqueness of it, because not too many people have tried to accomplish fishing two tours, over the last dozen years. The exposure of doing this and trying to accomplish what you're doing, has the exposure helped you out from a revenue standpoint, from a sponsorship? When you went to position this and you told the companies what you were going to do, are you making more money now?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people didn't believe that it was going to happen. I mean, I really didn't believe it was going to happen either. So, but yeah, it definitely, and I'm just hoping that this is, you know, there's a lot of us that, you know, would do this, would fish both trails, and you know, you almost have to, because you know, especially if you're not working another job or you have another business that's making money, you really need, you know, you need to be fishing, you know, you need to be, you know, you can't work half the year and make enough money to get through. So, you know, I'm just hoping that maybe, the organizations will see that, hey, we need to not schedule on top of each other. We need to let these guys that, are fishing for a living, trying to make this work and feed their families, and just allow them to do both trails. And then I was even, you know, even with the live, you know, I hate it when there's two big tournaments on live the same day. It's so hard bouncing back and forth, and you know, it'd just be really nice if everything, you know, you're able to watch it, you know, different weekends.
I agree. We've talked about that numerous times on this show.
Right.
Talked a little bit in the segment leading into when you were dumping the boat in the water about the expenses, and I found that Vance McCullough article there on Angler's Channel who kind of hashed out the numbers, about $82,000 in entry fees, and you're estimating, I mean, depending on what burrito you get at Taco Bell, $136,000 to fish both of these things. And Jeffries and I were talking, I mean, does that put more pressure on you knowing what you've got invested into this season before you even make a single cast?
You know, I don't know. For some reason, when I get out there, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's something wrong with me or what, but I just don't really stress too much about it. I mean, it's worked out, you know, the last few years and stuff. And I mean, and I got great sponsors that are backing me. So it's, you know, I think it'll be fine.
I mean, you've been around, you know, the guys all over. What percent of guys do you think stress about money during tournament hours? Like, how often do you think, what percent of guys are actually making decisions based on money?
Well, I think that it's honestly what some people that make it in professional fishing and some people don't. I mean, I've fished with a lot of people that are definitely better fishermen than I am, but it's the whole you know, being able to focus. I mean, if that's even a thought in your mind when you're putting that kind of money up there to fish a tournament, you know, to try to catch these bass, and you know, I mean, if that's even comes into your head, it's almost impossible to concentrate, you know, and focus. And I just look at it, it's like I wouldn't have absolutely nothing right now if I didn't tournament fish, you know. So I just kind of don't even look at it. I just figure it's just something that, you know, it's like my money I got to pay back in that came from fishing anyway. So, you know.
All right. Hey, John, some of the people on the instant feedback, we mentioned that you were on the water. Where are you at? Can you talk about what you're doing right now? Are you actually on the water? Somebody said it looks like you're in a parking lot.
Yeah, I am in a parking lot. I want to put the boat in, but there's the ramp right there.
Okay.
But
oh, I thought that was a grass mat behind him. Yeah. I was like, dang, he's all ready to start flipping. Does that not look in the background like it's a grass mat?
Yeah, but wait a minute. The text that you sent me said that you were going to be on the water, so that's how I set it up.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm close to the water. Water's right there. But I'm at the Harris Chain, and the reason I'm coming over here is because when I fished the Chick tournament on the Bassmaster Elite, the last day is on a Monday. So if somehow I make it to the last day at Chick, I'll have to drive through the night or get someone to drive me through the night, get here, and I'll get maybe one day of practice before this event starts. So I'm just kind of look around to have an idea of where I might spend that one day if I get any practice.
I was listening to your Stray Cast interview where you talked about you're running the two different models of boats, and I thought it was very interesting that you are actually kind of looking at the second half of the Elite Series season, the big water up north, and going with a different model on the Elite Series than you are on the pro circuit. Just talk a little bit about that decision. Right.
Well, you know, I really wanted to fish out of the PT20 and the boat I normally use, and I wanted to fish the first half of the Elite schedule is perfect for it. So every lake set up great for it. But I just didn't want to like do really, really well and then not be able to move around when we go to the northern swing. So that was my decision to run the Bass Hawk, and you know, because it's got a little bit higher sides, it handles the waves a little bigger. You know, if I want to run from one side of Champlain to the other, there's no issues, you know, no matter how windy it is. And I decided to do that, and then a lot of the most of the FLWs, you know, I'm able to use the PT20 and not really big water or anything. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
Real quick, while he's talking about the running and stuff, I remember this past year on Grand, and you were in the mix there, and you're going into the third day, and it blew like hell, and you were trying to get to Duck Creek, and Bailey Boutrees was trying to get down to Ketchum Creek, and you had multiple guys in fiberglasses that turned around, and you ended up getting there in aluminum. Is that kind of an overrated skill in navigating and running that thing
the whole key to it is going slow. Like I had to really slow down. I had to keep the nose up because, I mean, you know, one big wave and filling that thing up, you know, it might go to the bottom. I don't know. But so like I keep the nose up, and I just took my time getting down there. And I'm like, oh, that day was rough. My camera guy rode down with me, and once we got down there and we didn't catch anything, he jumped in someone else's boat and came back.
But I just say, you could pretty much go, I mean, you go places open water with that thing.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And, like, I fish tournaments with the PT20 on Champlain and stuff. I want to be able to, when I get on Champlain, when I get on St. Clair, when I get on St. Lawrence, I want to be able to bounce around where if everything fails or my area gives out, I want to be able to just move around and be able to jump, just move around a little better. That's why I decided to use the Bass Hawk, because I've never even taken a wave over the front of the Bass Hawk yet. It's got the nose sits so high, it's incredible.
All right, John, with what you have going on, what has your preparation been like? Do you have stuff just scattered all over the place?
Oh my, it's been pure hell, to be honest with you. We haven't even lived in my house probably the last month and a half, because I have tackle all over, you know, throughout the kitchen, the dining room, into the living room. I mean, it is spread out everywhere. And I'm just trying to get, just trying to get everything as organized as I can, because I know once the season starts, it's not going to happen. You know, I'm not going to get any of that done. And I just been working on it. The whole house smells like power bait. Oh, man, it's just disaster.
All right, with the amount of expense that you have this year, what is going to be a good year to you? $250,000, $300,000? Are you even thinking about that?
No, I mean, when I'm the main goals are to try to get a check every time. I mean, that's what I've been, you know, trying that every year, is just try to keep getting checks, because, I mean, that's the only way to keep going. And, hopefully we make a lot of top tens and have some shots at maybe winning one or two. So, I mean, that's pretty much it, though.
All right. This is kind of an obvious question, but what event are you looking forward to the most?
Oh my gosh. Like I can't even, the way some of them are set up, like, I mean, I go, it's crazy. I go to Rayburn, St. John's River, Chick, Harris Chain, and then the Bassmaster Classic on Gunnersville, you know, and those are all the almost back to back. I mean, that's just an amazing schedule, you know, all together. And then, but the ones that I probably am already losing sleep about is, the first week of April, we have, Eufaula Bassmaster Elite, Santee Cooper Bassmaster Elite, and then Lake Hartwell. And those are, you know, those are some, like, three of my favorite places. So I'm really looking forward to that month.
You could hit 100 pounds four times.
Yeah.
I know. And I keep thinking, I'm like, man, I have so many opportunities to catch a 10 pounder at so many of those events. You know, that's just, man, it's going to be exciting.
You've never weighed in 100 pounds, have you?
I don't think I have. Nope.
That's surprising.
I usually blow. I always have like a day where I catch like two fish and somehow still make the final day.
Yeah, what is the deal with you and Chickamauga?
Yeah.
What I mean,
I be honest with you, I really don't know. And I mean, every time I went into any of those tournaments, I really didn't feel like, oh man, I got this. Oh, this is my lake. And, or, you know, I just never felt like that at all. And, you know, it's something special about it. And it just always seems to, you know, seem to make the right calls at the right time, like last minute, and then man, and the place is just full of big ones, you know. So it's just, I don't know, it's just an awesome place.
All right, David from Wisconsin on the instant feedback wants to know, how do you feel about the Classic on Gunnersville?
You know, you know, anytime you can fish Bassmaster Classic, it's just awesome. It's mind blowing. But I've never done well on Gunnersville. I think I've cut one check on Gunnersville. And then I think I got a big fish one time and a Fisher and Men National Championship out there. So I haven't done well out there at all. But, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I'm just wide. I mean, I know the lake well, and I just, you know, I'm wide open to anything for the tournament. So, you never know what might happen.
All right, Josh, on the instant feedback wants to know, do you have any new sponsors this year?
Yeah, this year, well, Berkeley came on as a title sponsor and Abu Garcia, so really, I got to thank them tremendously because, I mean, without them, I wouldn't be able to do both trails without a doubt. And for new sponsors, we got T&H Marine this year. They came on. I finally got a Hydro Wave up front. Man, that thing is pretty neat. I'm actually playing with it some today. And then the other thing is I've been running Battleborne batteries, and I've been using them for the last year, you know, and I run two sets of 36 in each boat, and they're like only like 20 pounds a piece, but they came on as a sponsor finally. So yeah, I'm excited.
I'm curious for, let's say, an event, let's say this first event, what is your first event this year? I can't remember.
I leave for Texas this weekend, and it's Sam Rayburn.
Sam Rayburn. All right.
Lake Sam Rayburn.
Typically at Sam Rayburn on day one, how many rods and reels do you have rigged up based upon that tournament in the boat? Not at the hotel, not where you're staying.
Right.
I mean, when you go to battle, typically how many do you have rigged and ready?
I kind of like Sam Rayburn, and looking at the weather, and it's going to be cold. I mean, I'll probably have six rods in the box, and I'll probably have three on the deck.
So total nine rods in the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. So he's dialed in.
Yeah, pretty. Can you remember what was the most number of rods and reels that you've had during a tournament thrown in your boat?
Oh man, I had to have been. What was that one? The only one last year I didn't get a check. It was Oneida, and I was on Oneida, and I had every spinning rod I owned on the deck. I had like every bait caster. I had no idea what to do. I was so lost in that tournament. I was like I was torn to go out and try to catch smallmouth or go shallow and catch largemouth, and then the smallmouth were in with the largemouth up shallow. It was just a disaster.
Wow. Here's a question: what's the most number of rods you've had on your deck in a tournament that you won?
Oh, probably two, wow. Three.
There's a lot of information in that answer that he just said. When you're fishing your club tournament and you look down, it's a pretty good indication that if you have to look on where you're stepping, you're screwed.
right, yeah. But unless you're Brian Thrift, I have to say Thrift, he somehow does it. I don't know when I look down and see all them rods, I would have so many thoughts going through my head. Like, I wouldn't even know which one to pick up. I mean, there's just so many of them, you know, just
decoys. They're decoys, John.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking that the other day. I was like, man, I don't know.
There's no way some dude just goes out, finds random stuff, and throws whatever he feels like throwing on it and catches him. Yeah. He's got it dialed in, and he plays the country bumpkin role. He knows exactly what he's doing, where he's throwing it, and how he's throwing it, and he comes back and laughs at everybody who's like, oh, look at that crazy good junk fisherman.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that for the longest time. The more I got to know him, I'm like, man, he don't care either. He just goes out there and chunks and wines too. So,
speaking of style, though, I mean, we all know your style. It's well documented on how you do it and stuff. Are you surprised there's not more guys that fish your style and end up in the areas that you end up in?
Sometimes they do, but I mean, a lot of times, a lot of stuff I find is not really good in practice. Like a lot of my practice, I want to go, and even if I don't get bites, if the area feels right, that's kind of where I'm going to end up going. Even if it just, I feel like a lot of the times I fish stuff, I got to feel good about what I'm fishing, and then I just grind on them. Like I was thinking some of my best days I caught maybe 12 keepers, so I don't catch many fish, but I just try to cover a lot of water and catch big ones, I guess.
Hey, man, are you a grinder when it comes to doing research and doing prep work prior to the tournaments?
No, I mean, this will be the most, the off season. It's probably like the most work I'll do, like organizing and like prepping for the tournaments. Once the tournaments roll around, I do a lot of, I like studying the maps every night and stuff. And try to get, I'll try to make a game plan for practice, like what part of the lakes I'm going to break down and stuff. But, for the most part, I'm particular with my line and like the hooks and everything. Like, I make sure everything's good, so there's no issues there. But, I don't research like old stuff or on the tournaments or anything. Cause I don't want to know. That's some of the worst tournaments I've had. I've actually got on something that was a past winner, that someone did the year before, and I had no idea. And then I end up fishing that, and everybody's like, oh, did you see what's his name won in here last year? I'm like, oh, geez, you know. So,
hey, I'm just curious, man, because I haven't read it, and it's probably out there. It's kind of a selfish question. I'm really curious, how did you get into this game to begin with?
Man, a lot of guys, you ask them, like, oh, how'd you get here? How'd you get your – and a lot of people are just like, man, it just kind of happened. And I mean, I fished every day from probably the time I was like 13. And I mean, I fished and played baseball. So, it's all I've ever done. And my mom signed me up for these John Boat tournaments when I was like 13. She used to drive me and drop me off. So that kind of got me sucked in, and you're a kid. And I think I got the first one, I got fourth place in. I got like $80. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is, I put $30 of my mom's money in and got 80 back. I was hooked.
Wow. Yeah. All right, Matt, anything else?
No, I think I'm good to go on that. It's just, it'll be impressive to watch the back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-backs that go down this year. I mean, do you have any, I asked this like he hasn't done it. He fished, what, 8 Opens and 7 FLW Tour events last year, so you're used to that 15, 16 tournament schedule. Is it one of those things, do you ever just get done, have a tournament the next week, and be like, God, I would really like to just, like, hang out for 2 days and not do anything? Or is it...
Well, I mean, it does, but it's, a lot of times I feel like I fish better when I just go and I'm just... I'm not thinking, I'm just fishing, and I feel like almost when I get to that point is actually when I'm fishing better, and I'm not doing like what I want to do to catch fish. I got to do what to do to get the job done. So I look forward to those days where I really, really start grinding on them.
Goals going into next year? I mean, you're dangerously close to the angler of the year. This past year in 2019 on the pro circuit, you competed for the Angler of the Year in both divisions of the Opens, and then seen the success that some of those guys you came over from FLW, i.e. Scott Canterbury, had in his first year on the Elite Series. Is finishing at the top there one of your goals? Fishing?
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, you always want to finish at the top. You know, the AOY thing, I mean, it's you know, it comes down to, you know, for me anyways, it's come down to a fish lost, you know, a couple times now. So, I mean, one fish costs, you know, the entire, you know, losing that whole thing. So it's, you know, AOI would be great, but I mean, main goals are just, you know, get a good check every tournament and make as many cuts as I can and just try not to make, I hate making, like, I not to go back to Grand, but at Grand, you know, I had my chatterbait and I was throwing it around and stuff. And then I had, you know, I had a crankbait in the rod box and it was frozen. And I was just like, you know, I'm just not going to throw it. You know, I weighed three fish. I lost the tournament by 2 pounds the final day, you know? So just, I don't want to make, I hate making mistakes like that. And, so just hopefully, you know, fish clean and, you know, hopefully it all work out.
Well, to hit 250K with 136,000 in, you need 14K a tournament.
Right. Okay.
14 grand a tournament.
Right. Okay.
See, he's one of the three or four guys who goes, yeah, okay, I can do that. The rest of the guys are like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that, all you, as long as you hit a couple towards the top, those really push you over, it seems like, you know, every year. It keeps you going. So,
all right.
We'll see.
All right, man, great stuff. And Matt and I both wish you the best in 2020. It's going to be fun to watch. And
wish
you the best of luck, and thanks for taking time out to come on the show, man.
Oh, yeah, man, anytime. I love being on here.
All right, good stuff, man. Right. Have fun.
All right, see you guys.
All right, see you.
All right,
there you have it, John Cox. And, wow, he's a good dude, man.
He's the only man in bass fishing who has a hydro wave without a graph.
Oh,
I think we make a little too much of that. I think when it's necessary and he knows it's going to play into his game plan, I think he gets dialed in and knows what the heck he's doing. And when it's not necessary, he doesn't stress out with the contour lines.
Yeah, he's pretty calm and cool, man. No pressure.
Well, I mean, you look at his history. You look back on history on what the future is going to do, and he's going to catch him. I mean, you look at his Opens. I didn't even mention he's the only guy who fished 8 Opens to make money in the, like, no one fishes the Opens to make money. You fish the Opens to either, like, be able to say, oh, I fish the Opens, or to make the Elite Series. And he's like, you know, I'll just go make some money in the Opens. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, he's a good one. All right, tomorrow we're going to have Matt Reed on, and really looking forward to that. I know we don't have time. Dude, I seriously want to ask the fans about my whole buzzbait thing. It's not revolutionary. It's not nothing. It's just something that I was looking at it and I thought about it. And I mean, you could see, Matthew,
what you're trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And the point that you brought up about hookup ratio or whatever.
You have one point that's pulling, right? So you're going to have
multiple points.
Well, yeah.
And it's not a treble hook or a treble hook
trailer.
Right,
but on a single hook,
like,
I mean, and this is just my thinking of it, you're going to put all your energy towards that one point. Well, when you start adding other points with the longer shaft, you're distributing the energy, especially when you have one tie point. I'm not talking about a treble hook. I'm talking about a one tie point with like two kind of straight shank hooks on it. Yeah. I think that's why you have to drill them super hard on a frog with the double hook and why they come off on a frog sometimes. So I don't know, we'll see. Energy towards one point instead of multiple points.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I see what you're saying too. Yeah. I mean, if the fish doesn't get the hook, you can't focus that energy towards it. So I'd rather have a poorly hooked fish than a no hooked fish.
Yeah. And that's kind of the point that I was trying to make. All right, Matt Reed tomorrow. Folks, don't forget, make sure that you subscribe to us on YouTube. Also, very important, we are striding forward to reach the 1,000 review mark on iTunes. So please help us out there. Next week, we're going to announce, I've got something coming up, dude. It is big time that I'm going to give away if we can get to that 1,000 viewer review mark on iTunes and a couple other things.
I'm intrigued.
So, big announcement next week. Pretty cool stuff, man. Very excited about that. So continue to help us out. Really appreciate the instant feedback today. And we will be back tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, right here. That's it. We are out of here.